And indeed it did. It established a progressive social democratic state, making Germany really Europe's first modern welfare state, one could argue, committing itself not only to genuine parliamentary democracy, but also to a progressive social agenda as well. However, from the very outset, this new government was burdened with a crisis of legitimacy, a profound and debilitating crisis of legitimacy. The Republic was first of all associated with defeat and with surrender. You'll recall that the victorious Allies had not dealt with either the Kaiser or representatives of the old Imperial Army, but rather it would be parliamentary representatives from this new state that would be called upon to accept and deal with the Treaty of Versailles. The stab in the back legend haunted the Republic from the very beginning, with the right in Germany arguing that the victorious army had been stabbed in the back by this coalition of social democrats, liberal Jews, and Catholic Center Party members, the very coalition which had drafted the Weimar Constitution. The problems of the immediate post-war period exacerbated this crisis of legitimacy for the new regime. Millions of returning veterans had to be demobilized. Hunger was rampant in the new Weimar state. Until the Germans signed the Versailles Treaty, the Allied blockade of Germany, which had already led to 750,000 deaths in 1916-17, because of starvation or starvation-related diseases. This blockade remained in effect until the Germans accepted the Treaty of Versailles in mid-1919. So the government had to deal with rampant hunger. The new Weimar authorities also needed to find jobs for returning veterans and honor the pension obligations of the old imperial government. This crisis of legitimacy affected the choices that the new Weimar authorities believe they had concerning how to deal with these very serious problems. The government, in other words, didn't feel that it could afford the economic downturn or recession with high unemployment that had characterized the immediate post-war period in France and in Britain. As a consequence, the new Republican authorities continued the wartime policy of inflation in Germany. The German government between 1914 and 1918 had paid for its war effort largely by inflating the economy, hoping at the end of the war to emerge victorious and impose reparations on the defeated states. As a result, from 1919 to 1924, this new Republican regime in Germany was characterized by cabinet instability. Over a dozen different governments had been formed, cabinets had been sworn in between 1919 and 1923. A wave of political murders by right-wing terrorists washed across the Republic between 1919 and 1923, beginning in 1919 with the assassinations of Rosa Luxemburg and Karl Liebknecht on the radical left. In 1921, the murder of a prominent Catholic politician who had signed the Armistice Agreement in November 1918. In 1922, the German foreign minister, a Jew, was assassinated, all by right-wing terrorists. Right-wing terrorists who were treated very gingerly by the still conservative and unpurged old imperial judiciary. In this period, the Weimar government was also confronted with attempted coup d'etats from the left and the right, a communist attempt to overthrow the barely established regime in 1919, a conservative monarchist coup in 1920, another communist uprising in early 1923. It also had to deal with separatist movements in the Rhineland and in Bavaria in the course of 1923. Indeed, all of these various crises seemed to come to a head in this one enormous explosive crisis of 1923. It was in that year that the French and Belgians, as you'll recall, invaded the Ruhr, occupied the Ruhr, and the German government called upon the population to pursue a policy of passive resistance. The government simply allowed the mark to collapse. It attempted to pay for the workers that were not going to their factory jobs in the Ruhr with inflated money.